Once upon a time, a distant memory. It's like synergy. Life the hardest teacher y'all could ever get the master. Get a test first, and y'all get that lesson after. Steve's never stressing them G's to freeze egos. Please, I just get them in threes like the Migos. What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnose Success Podcast. I'm your host, K-Sparks. It's a blessing to be a blessing. We are blessed and highly favored. Appreciate y'all tapping in each and every week, man. It's all love. I love this podcast. I love conversing with y'all. Y'all know what it is. And as always, before we get started, we're going to tap into the word of the day. Something motivational, inspirational, get you through your day, your week, your life. All right. So I live it, I preach it, I teach it. And this word of the day says, what good is a seat at the table if you don't have a voice? I'll say that again. What good is a seat at the table if you don't have a voice? I think that word of the day is perfect and it's timely because it ties in directly to today's podcast. A lot of times when we talk about equality, we talk about social justice, we talk about economic empowerment, they always say, oh, you got to have a seat at the table. Minorities need a seat at the table. We got to have a seat at the table. But ultimately, what's more important than having a seat at the table is who is actually in that seat and what they're doing. Too many times we see people that get a seat at the table and they don't advocate for people of color. They only advocate for themselves. They're only out for the bag. They're only out for the dollars. You know, of course, they'll speak up behind closed doors, but ultimately, they never make it a point to advocate for justice or advocate for equality. So I say all that to say, what's more important than having a seat is who's at the table, sitting in that seat, and making sure that they actually have a voice. A lot of times people do things for optics. They'll just say, all right, you know, let's just hire this person, put them at the table, but it's just for show, it's for the optics, but we're not really getting anything from that, all right? So ultimately, keep that in mind. Regardless of what happens, you want to make sure that when you get that seat at the table, that you do have a voice, that you do advocate for change, that you're not only present physically, but mentally, so you can actually bring ideas to the table and be a thought leader, all right? So ultimately, that's the word of the day, as always. And you got it. All right. Now, for today, I got to tell y'all, man, we're going to get a little deep. Y'all know when I get in my bag and I do these reaction videos, it's always intentional and it's always very, very, very deep when I talk about these topics. So for today, y'all know the Super Bowl just happened. We're going to talk about the NFL removing end racism from the end zone. Okay. It's a good topic. I think it's needed. It's necessary. For those of you that are not too familiar, after George Floyd, the NFL had decided that they figured that something needed to be done. It was too much police brutality, a lot of racism, a lot of racial tension within the world. So they figured, well, we got to do something. And I made some notes, so periodically I'll just dig off the notes here. But as always, I'm just freestyling off the top. So NFL says, hey, man, we got to do something. And specifically, I wrote down exactly what it was verbatim. The NFL started using the lettering in racism back in 2020 in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd and the nationwide protest that followed. But for many reading between the lines, moving forward for the NFL to do away with the lettering, they think that this is due to Donald Trump making it known that he would have been present at the Super Bowl. So as always, in order to appease or make a play, they're going to downplay it. So they're going to remove that and they're going to replace it with choose love, right? Like choose love. Now, circling back, we got to understand again, why was this done? There was a lot of police brutality, a lot of racism going on, a lot of social injustice. So the NFL figured they would do that. And not only did they do that, but they also brought on Jay-Z. They paid Jay-Z's Roc Nation $25 million to basically throw the NFL halftime show at the Super Bowl, right? Now, I'm going to touch on that too, because that's its own thing within itself. But the reason why this is all important is because all of these things, they're all moving parts that all play a part in this, right? So for starters, since Trump is coming to the Super Bowl, there are a lot of people that are, they feel a way. They're like, hey, we don't want to ruffle his feathers, so we want to appease him. We don't want to talk about race no more. So let's take that out of there. Get in racism out of here. Let's choose love. Let's use the right verbiage to pander to people who feel a way about racism. And as everybody is aware, Trump wants to get rid of DEI. Okay? Now, if anybody is unfamiliar, you're sleeping on a rock. DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And to break it down for y'all, I made a note before I really start going in. What is DEI? In the United States, diversity, equity, and inclusion are organizational frameworks that seek to promote the fair treatment and full participation of all people, particularly groups have historically been underrepresented or subject to discrimination based on identity or disability. All right. So Trump recently said, hey, we need to get rid of this. I don't want this. I don't think it's fair. And he's making this major push. So a lot of companies are folding, like Target. And then some companies like Costco are saying, nah, you know what? We ain't jacking it. We are going to stand firm and stand on business because this is important. All right. So let's break this down from an intellectual standpoint, because that's important. A lot of people tend to run with false information. The internet is a great tool, but it's also a great distraction because people have a voice that quite honestly should not have a voice because they're so ignorant. So a lot of people believe, I heard a lot of individuals say, no, it's not right. We don't need DEI. It's not right because at the end of the day, why are people just getting jobs because of their skin color? Why are black people just getting hired because they're black? It's not right. It needs to stop. So first of all, to educate a lot of people who might be ignorant to this, DEI isn't just about people getting hired because of their skin color. That's stupid and that's dumb and that's very ignorant. DEI means that this needed to be implemented to level the playing field, right? So it means a person just doesn't get a job because of their skin color. They get a job because they are presented with the opportunity, they fit that description, and they're qualified. No one's going to get a job just because of their skin color, right? If a person can't fly a plane, I'm not going to hire him just because he's black. That's stupid, that's misinformed, and that's ignorant. That's not how DEI works. Now, why is DEI important? Well, if people want to live under a rock, the reality is that we live in a racist-ass society. Let's call a spade a spade. I think a lot of people live under a rock, and because racism doesn't directly affect their day-to-day, they don't realize that. But I can tell you, being a black man in the United States of America, this country is not united. And that's keeping it real. I've been dealing with racism since I was a young boy. I remember growing up and we went to public school 223. That was in South Jamaica, Queens. And when it came time for us to go to junior high school, we were zoned for junior high school 202. So South Jamaica, Queens is in South Ozone Park, predominantly black. Junior high school 202 was in Ozone Park, Howard Beach, predominantly Italian and Irish. So my brother went to that school first, God rest his soul, rest in peace. And I remember when he first went to that school, a lot of the racist people that had kids going to that school, they had signs up. And those signs were nasty, nasty work. Signs that said, we don't want these N-words here at our school. Take these N-word kids back to where they came from. Then they had signs of monkeys and gorillas, as if that was an adequate representation of what black children look like. This is the stuff that we dealt with. And then by the time, so a lot of the black parents had to advocate for their children and say, hey, listen, my kid is not less than your children. My child is entitled to an adequate and fair education, just like your children. So they had to fight about that. They had to protest about that. Then by the time I went to that school, same thing. We had to encounter this level of racism, just trying to get an education. You feel me? I remember getting off the bus when we get over there, and I remember the white store owner, he would follow us around just because we're black. Meanwhile, the white kids were stealing. He wasn't paying no mind to them. Just because we were black, we came with the stigma that we would steal. right? So ultimately, we stop shopping. It's like you don't go where you're tolerated. You know, you go where you're celebrated. So we got into the habit of buying, you know, stuff from the bodega within our own community because we didn't want to deal with the racism at a young age. So I say all that to say is that I've dealt with discrimination my whole life. Even when I got into the music industry, there's all types of levels, right? New level, new devil. And you got to learn how to navigate. And you got to deal with the systemic racism. You got to deal with the marginalization. You got to deal with the glass ceilings that they don't talk about. And because it's 2025, racism isn't always overt, it's covert. There are things that are done to try to keep you in your place. We were told years ago we was going to get 40 acres in the mule. That ain't happened, right? There's all these things that, even though historically minorities helped build this country, dealt with racism, dealt with slavery, dealt with getting sexually assaulted, sexually molested, pregnant women getting tied to a tree and getting their bellies cut open and watching the baby fall and bleed out to the floor, just to instill fear in the rest of the slaves so they wouldn't rise up. This is history. But you know what? People get uncomfortable when you talk about it. And you know what I say to that? Fuck your level of comfort. Because if it's not your reality and this is not what you had to deal with growing up and you don't experience it, then you can't relate, B. And that's cool. But all I'm saying is at the end of the day, don't try to diminish opportunities at the same time, right? When we talk about legacy admissions, a lot of people don't know what that is. So allow me to tell you, legacy admissions are when you talk about Harvard, you talk about Yale, you talk about these predominant Ivy League schools, right? Ivy League schools. A legacy admission means, well, because your daddy and your daddy's daddy and your auntie went to this school, you get it. And guess who benefits predominantly from legacy admissions? Take a guess or Google it for yourself, statistically, right? So at the end of the day, no one's talking about getting rid of legacy admissions. Nobody's talking about who benefits from generational wealth, right? And all these other things that help a certain demographic. But when we talk about at the bare minimum, DEI, something in place and imposed to try to help level the playing field a little bit, because let's be honest, the playing field will never be level. It never will be, right? But if not for nothing, historically, from all the things that were taken from Black people, right? Even when we tried to build wealth, right? We had Black Wall Street. What happened? It came and they burned that motherfucker down, man. Right? Trying to instill economic empowerment and build something. And when you start to rise up, they slap you back down to reality. Nah, you can't have that, B. You know what racism is like? Racism is like playing Uno. And everybody at the table got draw fours and draw twos and reverse cards and skip cards. And they give you a regular deck to play with. And every time you say, hey, yo, man, this game ain't fair, B. I want to draw four, two. I want to reverse. No. Just play with the hand we give you. Game is fucked up, right? But you got to sit there and you got to hold that. And you still got to try to play the game and try to win. And even when you get ahead and you might get a draw two, they take that shit from you. That's what racism is like. So that's why when they talk about DEI, that's why it's important. It's not saying people are getting a handout like some other people get with legacy admissions that they still do. We're talking about leveling the playing field for equality, for social justice. So when we talk about the NFL deciding to take that off of the field and put choose love, respectfully, fuck love. Because everybody's definition of love is different, right? Just because you love a certain way doesn't mean that you'll love the fight for equality, doesn't mean that you'll love the fight for social justice. People feel uncomfortable when you talk about race, but you know what's more uncomfortable? Having to live it as a Black person. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, fuck your feelings, man. And I say that not respectfully, disrespectfully, because racism is a real thing. And until we start having these real conversations about what we encounter and what we deal with and social injustice and how to level a playing field, yo, it's all fake, man. You feel me? And it puts you in a weird state because it's like the Super Bowl, all these sporting events, they cool, right? But you're placed in a weird space because it's like being in a fucked up relationship, right? It's the best way I could describe it. And you know shit is bad, but you're just forced to put up a front. Like everything is cool, right? But it's not. So when the Super Bowl comes, everybody get their popcorn, everybody gets together. But there's this organization that doesn't want to acknowledge racism. They just want you to choose love. What the fuck is that? What are we talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it behooves me, right? And then you got Jay-Z. I love Jay-Z, man. Love his music. I love his entrepreneurship. But that's another thing that doesn't make any sense. Because I'm trying to figure out, where does Roc Nation fall into all of this? I know Roc Nation got $25 million to be a part of the NFL after the George Floyd thing. But like we said with the word of the day, what's more important, what good is having a seat at the table if you don't have a voice? I know they're responsible for the halftime show, but respectfully, I don't give a fuck about the halftime show, bro. I'm not going to hold you. Like, we're talking about social equality. We're talking about social justice. We're talking about addressing racism. So if that's why you guys, if Roc Nation was brought to the table to remedy that, then miss me with the optics. Don't just put it out there. Hey, Jay-Z, one of your own is sitting at the table. For what? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. A lot of this doesn't make any sense. And I guess for me personally, I'm unapologetic about justice. I'm unapologetic about equality. And it gets to the point where a lot of times people start to play in your face, right? So, you know, even when you look at Colin Kaepernick and what happened with him when he kneeled because he didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance. He's like, hey, man, listen, I ain't really jacking this. We're sitting up here with Pledge of Allegiance, but there's a lot of injustice going on in the world. And I feel weird, like just acting like everything's okay. I don't want to do that. So, you know, I'm going to kneel. And then we see what happened to Colin. But ironically, this guy, I don't know, you know, maybe you guys are familiar with it. This individual, what was his name? Nick Bosa. I don't know if y'all familiar with Nick Bosa. So when the whole thing happened with Colin, NFL was like, yo, no, you know, players are not allowed to make political statements. This is wrong. And then Nick Bosa wore a MAGA hat, Make America Great Again, during a televised interview. And the NFL wasn't very quick to address Nick Bosa, right? They let that rot for a little bit. And then they put them in a precarious situation because they're like, well, damn, we did Colin Kaepernick like that. We got to do something with this guy. We can't let him get away with it, even though they probably wanted to let him get away with it. So I think he caught like a little fine. I don't know, maybe like 11 grand, whatever it was, they fined him. But they did it for the optics. You know what I'm saying? Like, they did it for the optics because they felt like they had to do something. So at the end of the day, I say all this to say is that, you know, this is my reaction to them removing end racism. And I feel that we need actionable items and we need true allies. I feel that if you are truly for equality, then you should not have a problem with having end racism out there. Because who don't want to end racism? Racist. It's either you for us or you not, B. And nobody got time for these little political games and all of this back and forth. It's like, yo, that should have never been removed. That should stay there. There needs to be more actionable items for social equality, social justice. And as a person of color, it starts to become very frustrating when you constantly see people don't want to talk about these issues. They just want to gloss around it. And they say, well, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Historically, people that say that are ignorant because they don't know the history. You know, put it like this. If my grandparents rolled up on your grandparents or your great grandparents, y'all had property, y'all had nice things, and they like, yo, my people to your people like, yo, run that. That's our shit now. You heard? Take your houses, take your women, rape them. Take your money, take everything, And then years down the road, my family benefits from that. And we living good. We eating good. We riding good. Rollied up. Everything. Millions of dollars. And we looking at y'all people like, damn, man. You really fucked up, ain't you? Yo, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You heard? You be ready to get busy, bro. Like, nah, B, I'm taking back everything that was taken from you. So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is that even though you might not have done these things, you still have a responsibility, a social responsibility, to say, all right, how can we make it right? How can we make it right? And at the bare minimum, if DEI was the only thing we could get after all the things that minorities have been through, give them the goddamn DEI. It's like you want to take everything and leave nothing. But it's like playing Uno with a fucked up hand, right? Still got to smile and grin it, even though the game is fucked up. So this is a thought piece, man. You know, at the end of the day, just putting things in perspective from a realist perspective about truly thinking about what's going on around you. You know, I think with social media, a lot of times, unfortunately, we get distracted. There's so many distractions, right? Especially with the news, right? As soon as you open social media, the news, newspapers, you know, oh, Elon Musk did a Nazi symbol. Oh, Trump is talking about getting rid of paper straws. Let's go back to plastic straws. We are constantly swamped mentally, emotionally, psychologically with dumb shit. Except for the stuff that really matters. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that affects your day to day. Stuff that affects your life. And I think that's what we need to focus on. And we need to really buckle down on social justice, social equality. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig. I'm not going to try to downplay my blackness for your level of insecurity. Fuck your insecurities. Get over yourself. Right? I'm not here for it. Like, we got to start having these rough conversations. And that's what it's about. And sound off below. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear what y'all think about DEI. I want to hear about what y'all think about the NFL doing what they did in terms of just, like, clipping in racism, trying to replace it with choose love. I want to hear it. Let me hear it, man. Let me hear it. I'm really, really interested in hearing y'all thoughts on this topic. And like I said, man, at the end of the day, what good's a seat at the table if you don't have a voice? You heard? All right. So much love as always. And until next week.